Talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk Dad podcast, episode 126. I've got Mom here with me.
Hi.
Or Allison.
Yep.
We're going to do something a little bit different. After 125 episodes, we might have our first episode with no kids on it. So Allison and I will be talking. It's not because our kids don't like us, I don't think.
Although they're not talking to us
They're
right
not
now.
Talking to us. Yeah, they just stopped talking to us.
Because they're not home.
There's two kids at college, and I didn't arrange for a podcast. The problem is this week, this has been a heckishly, can I say that? Heckishly busy week. I was out of town for a big chunk of it, and the boys, this is the third week in a row I've had to do a podcast on a Friday night because we just haven't had time during the week to do it otherwise. And the boys are at a thing tonight, like a church thing, a church pasta eating event.
They're carb loading.
They're carb loading because they're going to take a really long walk, like a 19-mile walk tomorrow in the cold.
18 or 20?
18. 18.
A long walk.
I think an 18-ish mile walk.
Yeah.
In the cold tomorrow morning, bright and early. So tonight they're with their church friends eating a whole bunch of pasta.
Yeah.
And because they're doing that, they're not available for a podcast. And because we need to publish a podcast tonight, we just decided, heck, we don't need kids.
Kids? Who needs them?
We can just do our own podcast. We might talk about the kids. We're already talking about the kids.
We are.
The kids are a big part of our life, but
but they're not talking to us.
They're not talking to us at the moment.
Right now.
So we're just going to have to do a podcast.
Yep.
It's been a really busy week.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I would agree.
I left. When did I leave? Tuesday? Tuesday afternoon. I left and got on a plane.
I thought it was Monday.
I guess it was Monday.
It was Monday.
Okay, it was Monday. So I left Monday afternoon, got on a plane, flew from Dallas to Los Angeles. I was supposed to be in Los Angeles for a two-day hearing that was supposed to go all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday. Wednesday was William's birthday, so I felt kind of bad about that. I was going to miss William's birthday, but fly home on Thursday. So I was going to fly Monday, be there Tuesday, Wednesday, fly home on Thursday, and I was going to miss, just be busy most of the week. I was still pretty much busy most of the week, but I got to Los Angeles. We got to the hearing. I got to the hearing on Tuesday. My client, got dismissed from the case. So I was able to rearrange the travel and fly home on Wednesday. And that was kind of fun because William was already prepared for the fact I wasn't going to be here on his birthday. And he was resigned to that.
Yeah.
And we had said, we're just going to celebrate it a day late.
On Thursday.
But I felt a little bad about it. And I think maybe secretly, he wasn't super pumped about the idea either.
He was being a really good sport, though.
Yeah.
He didn't let on, but I think he was a little bit.
I mean, I told him he could go ahead and celebrate without me, but he was like, no, let's wait till you get home.
Yeah.
I think he just wanted, you know, the family, at least the family that lives here, to be there.
Yeah.
And so I got home. That night, William and Henry also had something they had to do. And I got home right as you were taking him to that event.
But they didn't see you.
They did not see me.
We were keeping it a secret.
I wrapped up all the presents. You had already bought a cake. We put it all on the table. I sat at the table. And when you brought them through the door, I said, surprise. And William just kind of had a stunned look on his face. I mean, it was funny. He didn't really react much.
He didn't.
But he was really happy.
Yeah.
And Henry was really happy. He didn't know either.
No. Only I knew.
Yeah. So I got to have birthday with William on his birthday. That was cool. How was it while I was gone? Anything exciting happen?
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. I just, you know, got up early.
Did twice as much work.
Did a lot. Yeah.
50% more work than you normally do.
A lot of driving back and forth.
Yeah.
Because of the way that, you know, the morning schedules especially, although the afternoon schedules are pretty much.
Because usually I'm able to take William through part of his morning schedule.
Yeah.
Before I leave to work.
Yeah. Well, it was like, it was especially hectic this week because some things got rearranged. So like Henry had been signed up for parkour on Monday nights, but he's been rehearsing.
Whenever I hear parkour, I think of the parkour episode of The Office.
I didn't see that episode.
You've never seen that?
No.
I have to look that up.
I'm going to have to watch it.
Trying to do parkour and it's really goofy.
I thought I'd seen like every Office episode, but whenever someone refers to one, I'm like, I don't think I've seen that one.
Maybe I'll have to start watching The Office again, like on Netflix or something.
Maybe. Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, so he had parkour Monday nights at 5:30 in theory, but he wasn't getting out of his play rehearsals until 5:30. So we couldn't get there. So anyway, we switched to Tuesday nights, but I swear the minute that I switched him to Tuesday nights at 6, Will's viola teacher asked if we could switch to Tuesdays. So his lesson had been going from 5 to 5:30 on Tuesdays, which, I mean, considering like the traffic situation, getting out of Will's high school, pretty much I just pick him up on his day for viola lesson after school and take him directly there. But and that gives us just enough time to get to her house by 5. But it was from 5 to 5:30. Now it's 5 to 5:45. And she asked if maybe we could do it on Tuesdays just for this month. So
long story short.
It was a mess.
There's always these situations where if you have two parents and two cars,
yeah,
you can sort of make it work. You know, it's like juggling with two people. But juggling with one person's a lot harder.
Right. And I kept having extra balls thrown at me while I was juggling. Right. So, you know, juggling like the normal things like and then
kickball to the face.
Right. Exactly. Well, I didn't quite take a kickball to the face.
Not this time.
Not this time. That's happened before and it landed me in the emergency room. But
did we talk about that on podcast?
Maybe.
I don't remember if we did.
I think maybe.
Anyway.
I had one eye for a while and the boys were calling me Odin.
I am glad that you didn't make it to the emergency room while I was gone. I would have felt really bad.
That would have been bad. Because who would have driven me, really? I mean, you know.
Yeah. I had a mishap in Los Angeles when I got there. It was weird because I was traveling right after the time change. And it seems like I've done this several years where I have like some business trip planned like right at the same time as the time change. And you feel like you're sort of robbed of the benefit of the time change. Because suddenly you're in a different time zone and everything's screwed up anyway. But right as the time, like, you know, this time change was, I guess, Sunday morning. So I guess I took advantage of it that day. But then Monday I left and went to California, which is two time zones away. And so I got there and my time was all screwed up and I was really hungry. And I got a rental car, you know, took the shuttled to the rental car place, got a rental car, drove down the highway, and traffic was horrible because it was rush hour in Los Angeles. Pulled off the highway, and I was talking to you on the phone at the time, and I was like, I think I might have a flat tire because the little tire inflation gauge came on, and the car was making a whole lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was really loud on the highway. I couldn't tell if it was just the loud road. And I pulled off, and I looked out, and sure enough, I had a flat tire, and I was like, off the highway in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, you've been to Los Angeles.
I
took you on one of my trips to Los Angeles. It's kind of weird because it's a little bit like Houston or like a city that's really sprawling.
Mm-hmm.
And you can never tell if you're in a good neighborhood or not. Like there are some places where it's like a decent neighborhood next to a not so good neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I didn't know like where I was, if it was a good neighborhood or a bad neighborhood. I couldn't really tell. I mean, there were like some tents on the sidewalk down the street, but that's kind of common in Los Angeles right now. And I called like the rental car's roadside assistance. And I think what it was is they just refer it off to like AAA.
Mm-hmm.
So the person I was talking to didn't actually work for the rental car company. They worked for the, you know, the roadside assistance company. And I was talking to her. I was like, yeah, I think I have a flat tire. And she said, all right, well, I'll call the tow truck. They're going to get here. It may take up to 90 minutes. And I was like, 90 minutes in a neighborhood where I'm not sure if it's a safe neighborhood.
And you haven't eaten yet.
And I haven't eaten yet. And I want to get to my hotel. I just want to like get where I was going.
Well, because it was
like, I was like, well, what are they going to do when they get here? Are they going to repair my tire? Are they going to bring me a new tire? Are they going to bring me a new car? And she's like, oh, they're just going to put the spare tire on. I was like, no, that's not okay. And what I ended up doing was like turning around. The car, it was basically a totally flat tire.
Mm-hmm.
But there was like a, there was a gas station about maybe a quarter mile away,
mm-hmm.
and the gas station had, I think it was like a Jack in the Box next to it. So it was like a little bit of a, like a commercial area with like a bright lit parking lot.
Yeah.
So I just pulled the car over and I was like, you know what? If all he's going to do is fix my, put the spare tire on, I can do that myself with the little jack that's in the trunk and the spare tire. And so that's what I ended up doing. And I got a call from the tow truck, like saying, hey, I'm about 10 minutes away. I was like, well, don't bother coming, because I just put the spare on myself, because I wasn't going to wait around for you to just to put a spare on. But then I had to drive all the way back to the rental car company. So it was like 3 hours later than it should have been.
I feel like what should have happened is the rental car company should have sent a car after you.
That's what I kept telling the lady, but she was like, well, I can't do that. You're going to have to call the rental car company. I was like, well, okay, so I should call the rental car company. She's like, all right, well, here's the number. And she gave me the number and I wrote it down, and that number didn't work. So I was like,
awesome. Yeah.
All right, I'll just put on the spare. I'll drive it back to the rental car place by the airport, get a new car. Anyway, so I ended up, like, it was like 3 or 4 hours later than I wanted it to be when, by the time I made it to lunch, to dinner.
Yeah. Well, because California is, it's 2 hours earlier there. So it was probably feeling
earlier there. Yeah. So it wasn't so, at least the restaurants weren't closed, but felt so late to me.
I want to say when I was talking to you and you were saying that you thought you might have a flat tire, was that like, it was like 8:30 or 9 this,
like Texas time.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
So
about that.
By the time you ate, it would have been really late.
Yeah. By Texas time, it was probably like, you know, 11 o'clock at night, probably 9 o'clock California time.
That makes
sense. But I got to eat at a really good restaurant. I got to go to a David Chang restaurant.
Yeah. I feel less bad for you. Majordomo,
which is like his new Los Angeles restaurant that he just opened up. And I was super excited about that.
That is exciting.
And that wasn't so bad. By then, by the time I got, and it's like this, because it's a new restaurant and he's a famous chef, it was like, it's like impossible to get a reservation there except for like months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just one guy that walks through the door and you say, hey, can I just eat at the bar? Then
yeah,
you're probably okay. You can walk in and just eat. Or probably like if we were both there, like two people could have eaten at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of lucky that way. And I got to do a few things in Los Angeles that were fun. I got to go record shopping at Amoeba Music in Hollywood. I got to eat some good food. I was actually staying, my hotel was right next to Little Tokyo,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't realize it like the first day. And then like the next day I was kind of walking around when, once my hearing got canceled, I was like, oh, this is Little Tokyo. And there's, I should have gone because it was funny because right after I got home, I was listening to a podcast and someone was talking about going to the Japanese American Museum in Little Tokyo that was right next to my hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about how cool it was on a podcast like the day after I got home. And I thought, I should have gone. I didn't go.
Oh, but, that's too bad.
You know, I did just kind of like the LA stuff. I went to restaurants and went record shopping and went to a comedy show at the UCB Theater. That's about it. I didn't have a ton of time there, but it was fun.
That sounds fun.
Kind of. The weather was great. It was nice and warm and clear skies. And then I got back here and it's really cold here.
It's a little cold here.
It's really, it's supposed to freeze tonight, which is unusual.
It's supposed to freeze tonight. It wasn't cold like a couple of days ago when you got home, though.
It was colder than it was in California.
True.
And now apparently California, Southern California, is like on fire. Have you seen the video?
No. They're on fire again?
There's a place in California called like Paradise, California. I have to look up the video because it was all over Twitter today where it was like, it looked like this post-apocalyptic scene where like all of these vehicles were burned and this forest was burned and they were driving them because people were trying to flee this fire, this wildfire that like wiped out this park like really quickly.
That's so
scary.
There
were like burned out buses and vehicles on the side of the road.
Oh.
Yeah, there's like a really bad wildfire there that I guess just barely started.
I feel like they shouldn't, like, they've had enough of that. They shouldn't have to do that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just sad.
It is sad. California is an interesting place. I don't know. It's a really fun place to visit for me
because
there's a lot of cool stuff to see there. But LA is a confusing city. Like traffic is confusing. The geography is confusing. There's a lot of really cool stuff, but then there's some kind of strange stuff. I don't know. I find it a little bewildering, to be honest. The other thing that's funny is like all the streets are sort of famous. So yeah. You're like, I'm on Sunset Boulevard. Now I'm on La Brea Boulevard. Now I'm on, you know. So it's like Wilshire Boulevard. It's all these Rodeo streets you've heard of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the boulevards and the streets go for like a long way. So you can be like on one end of it, like not the famous end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like, I don't know, I should know where I am.
Yeah.
Anything else that's exciting that's going on? The boys have to wake up. We talked about this a little bit. They have to wake up and walk a long ways in the cold.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about them.
They might be okay.
Freeze their little legs off.
I feel bad for their little legs.
Yeah. Their poor little legs. I'm sure they'll be okay. I mean, they have adult supervision and everything, but
they do. You know, going for a walk when it's super cold, like you can bundle up a lot, but like the skin on your legs gets really cold. I don't know if that bothers you as much as it does me. And then you get back inside, like, and you feel like chunks of flesh are frozen. Like, they're not actually frozen, but you go inside and, like, for me at least, like, as I warm back up, the temperature difference makes, like, my skin really irritated and itchy.
Like, yeah, I know that feeling where your skin feels like it's kind of crawly because of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unpleasant. I'm glad I'm not going.
I wonder if it's
going
to be windy.
You know, it was really windy today.
Like freezing cold, 32 degrees and windy is
that's a bad
way
combination.
Worse than 32 degrees and sunny and no wind.
Yeah. The wind is a big...
Brutal.
It makes a big difference.
When it's cold, yeah. I think we need to find them like scarves. So they can like wrap a scarf around their neck.
They need like a ski mask.
Yeah. Baklava.
Balaclava?
Balaclava? How do you say that word?
I don't know. I never say it. It's a ski mask.
Yeah. The kind that have just the, you know, the...
Yeah. Just the eye cut out.
Just the eye cut out.
And then your eyes are cold.
Yeah.
Because they're exposed. We don't use those very much here.
No. I don't know. Do the boys even have like winter caps? They probably have some somewhere we can dig out.
We have like some beanies. I think we had a bunch of them that... A couple of years ago when we all dressed up as lumberjacks for Halloween, we all had little black beanies.
Did we all have hats? When did you start calling them beanies? Can I ask that question? I never called them beanies when I was a kid.
Maybe 5 years ago. No, just no.
I think the first time I heard it was like in the 90s.
I remember when I was a kid, like reading in a book, somebody mentioned a beanie and I was like, what's a beanie?
I always thought of a beanie. Like beanie I thought of was like... Like the one with the propeller on top of it, you know, like a multicolored beanie with a propeller.
Yeah.
But not like a, I call not it like a stocking cap.
Yeah. Or like a snow hat.
Or a winter, I don't know, a toboggan.
A toboggan is what you,
they call it that back east. Like when I was a kid living in New England, people call it a toboggan hat.
I had never heard that before.
Yeah.
It's a thing. I'm trying to think what we call it, a stocking cap or a snow cap.
Stocking cap.
Snow hat. Probably. I don't know.
More than anything.
Yeah. Hats. I mean, we didn't really wear other hats. I guess baseball
caps.
But
now everybody calls them beanies.
Yeah.
And I know what you mean when you're saying beanie, but I never called them that when I was a kid.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like beanie is like, it might have been like a regional, like a word that was preferred regionally before. Maybe, possibly. But I feel like everybody calls it a beanie now.
Yeah, I think like there was a period in the late 90s, early 2000s where dudes would just walk around with beanies on their heads, even if it was like summertime.
Yeah.
You still see it every now and then, but not that often. Especially at that time. I think that's when I first started hearing them called beanies.
Does it bother you like it bothers me? when it's summer.
Like
when it's summer.
Like, especially in Texas, I think that person's probably insane.
Yeah.
Or way too committed to being a hipster or something.
I always think, are they hiding? Like, what's wrong with your head?
Yeah.
Have you not, like, washed your hair in a week?
Definitely something suspicious about it.
Yeah. Like, what's going on there? And ditto with, you don't see it as much, but a couple of years ago when everybody wore a lot of scarves, like the ladies especially would wear lots of scarves, but guys too. And, you know, people still do.
Like the ladies and the lead singer of Aerosmith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude looks like a lady.
Steven Perry.
No.
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 Steven Tyler.
Steven Tyler, yeah.
Steve Perry is the lead singer of Journey. Steven Tyler. All right. Sorry.
Right?
Move on. Yes.
Right. Okay. But yeah, when you'd see, like, and for a while they were just super, super trendy. And you would see, like, girls wearing, like, sleeveless blouses in the summer with, like, a big old scarf. Like, not just, like, a lightweight, like, summery scarf, but, like, a big old scarf. And I would just think, I don't know. It's just, it gets so hot here that, like, one extra, like, even a thin extra layer is just torture to me. I can't imagine, like, wearing a knit cap or, like, a big scarf or any extra anything.
That would, like, give you a fever or something. You would just sweat so badly, especially having that, like, on your head.
Yeah. Maybe if it was wet. Maybe that's the secret.
I don't know. I was always told as a kid, I believe this is true. It's one of those things you don't really question, mm-hmm. that, like, when it's cold out, most of the heat escapes through your head. And that's mm-hmm. why having a hat on keeps you warm.
That's what I always heard.
And
too.
The opposite's got to be true in the summertime, that, like, it keeps all that heat in. Like, yeah. It keeps you from cooling down, right?
You would think so.
It just seems unpleasant.
But maybe, you know, they have those cooling cloths that you can put around your neck or on your head or whatever.
Seen that. Like supposedly, you know, guys who work on road crews say if you can keep your wrists uh-huh. like cool, that'll keep you really cool. Like wrap a wet
bandana
around your wrists.
Yeah, we would do that at Cub Scout Day Camp, which they would have. Oh, goodness. Twilight Camp here. They would have it start at 4 p.m. in the summer.
Mm, which is brutal.
It was the worst.
It seems like that's the hottest part of the day here in Texas.
It was so hot. And, you know, by dusk, it would start to cool down a little bit, but not really.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as soon as the sun went down, we'd go home. So it wasn't like we got to enjoy the... But yeah, we would get, each den would get different colored bandanas. And we would wet them for the boys and have them wear that. And, you know, nag them mercilessly about hydrating.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe the beanies are wet. Maybe they keep them, or maybe there's some kind of special fabric.
I just think, like, there's probably so much sweat underneath them.
Like, yeah.
Their hair, if you saw their hair, probably just be matted with sweat. And it seems like, I don't know, it seems like you get so hot, you just pass out when you see a guy in summertime wearing a beanie.
You would think so. But I think that about people I see, like, jogging in the summer too. Like,
yeah.
Do they hate themselves? What's going on here? But that's it's true. You know,
sometimes I feel that way about just people I see jogging anyway. Even though I used to run, I haven't ran in a long time. It's definitely a mindset.
It is. And yeah.
And sometimes you see people, some people look like they're enjoying it, but then you see other people who just look like they
look
are
miserable.
Struggling. They look miserable. They're only doing it because they think it will be beneficial, but you can tell they hate it.
Yeah. When we lived in Dallas, just north of downtown, there were, you know, we lived in an apartment for a year before we built a house in the suburbs, but there were a lot of young and fit and attractive people that lived around us. But there was so much jogging in the middle of the day in the summer. And it was like, brutal. I would see it all the time and I would think, why?
I think it was really hot that summer too, if I recall.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the summer. Well, it wasn't the hottest summer, but it was still pretty, like,
it was a hot summer.
Lots
though.
Of days above 100 degrees.
Yeah. Which is normal. I mean, we never don't have a summer that's too hot to run outside in the middle of the day, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
obviously, you know, not everybody shares my opinion. So
one other strange and random mishap I had related to my trip to Los Angeles is when I was in Los Angeles, I went to a really good record store there, Amoeba Music. There's like one in Berkeley, California, and one in Hollywood, LA. It's a nice big record store with lots of vinyl and movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I bought a record and it was like the Best of the Kinks 1964 to 1970.
Which
and it was wrapped
great.
And sealed and it had like the sticker on it and everything that said, you know, like, you know, all the hits, the official sticker. And it was wrapped inside the thing. And I opened it and I pulled it out and I put it on the turntable and it had like kind of a strange looking sticker in the middle of it.
It didn't look like the Kinks.
It didn't say the Kinks, you know, greatest hits. It just had this strange looking sticker. And I set it on the keyboard or the turntable and I put the needle down and it started playing and this like sort of funky beat came on. It was instrumental at first, but it was this funky beat. And I was like, this, I know this is not the Kinks. I know what the Kinks sound like, you know, 60s British Invasion band guitars. This was something else. This was like some sort of like mellow hip hop thing going on. And I was like, well, that's really weird. And I like flipped the record and put the needle on the other side and same thing. And I thought, that's so strange because it came out of a sealed, uh-huh. a sealed sleeve. And it turns out it was a Kanye West like EP. There were like four or five tracks from a Kanye West album inside this Kinks sleeve for a Kinks record. And then I looked up like Amazon reviews, and it had happened to some other guy where he had ordered the Kinks and he had ended up with a Kanye West record. So there must have been
some mistake in
the manufacturing facility or something, yeah, where they were putting the wrong record in the wrong sleeve.
That's so funny.
It must have been the same way. I mean, what are the odds that it's going to be some
Kanye West album or EP?
Very strange. So I like contacted the record store by Twitter, and they were like, well, just bring it into the store with your receipt and we'll exchange. And I was like, no, I'm in Texas now. I can't bring it in. They said, well, then contact us by email. I did that. They haven't gotten back to me yet, but I just thought that was really weird.
That is really weird.
Weird enough to mention on the podcast. I don't know if anybody cares about it, but I thought it was really strange. It's never happened to me before, but the record store says it's rare, but it does, weird stuff like that will happen sometimes. Mm-hmm. So
now we're the proud owners of a Kanye. Do you know which EP it is?
I don't know. I know there's one song featuring John Legend.
Okay.
There's another song featuring...
It would be nice if it were actually labeled. Like, there's a sticker on it. There is a label,
but the writing is really, really small. Like, I would need a magnifying glass to read it.
Huh.
And I was using, like Shazam to try and figure out what the music was.
Mm-hmm.
That's
probably like, how that mistake happened.
I guess. I don't know.
It was on hand. They put it in, and there's nothing obvious that would say this is Kanye West.
Yeah. It didn't say like Kanye West in big lettering. It just had a graphic on it. And then like really small lettering kind of along the edge of the sticker.
Huh.
Anyway, very strange.
It is strange.
Let's do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
We have some new words that were introduced in 2018 from a British dictionary, the Collins Dictionary. I think Webster does this every year, too. I'm not as familiar with the Collins Dictionary, but I did see this news story, and I thought it was kind of interesting. I thought we could talk about whether we know these words or not. The number one word of the year was single use.
Single use?
Single use, like, you know, like a disposable thing, like a single use water bottle.
That's one word. I guess it would be hyphenated.
Yeah,
right?
They're talking about products often made of plastic that are made to be used once and thrown away. And they said they identified that as their word of the year because out of concerns for the environment.
Okay.
But some of the other ones were kind of funny. Floss.
Floss.
Floss, as in...
New definition.
A dance in which people twist their hips in one direction while swinging their arms in the opposite direction with the fists closed. It's a noun.
It's a noun.
Floss. Although it's also a verb.
A verb you can
also use as a verb.
You can floss and you can do the floss, I guess.
Here's one. I think this must be like a one that's particular to English politics, but it says gammon.
Heard
the word gammon? Mm-mm. It is a person typically male, middle-aged, and white with reactionary views, especially one who supports the withdrawal of Britain from the European Union.
Oh, okay. So a Brexit supporter is a gammon.
Brexit supporter is a gammon.
Okay.
This one I've heard a lot. Gaslight.
Gaslight. We've been
It seems like that's been over the last few years.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's probably been in the Webster Dictionary much longer than that.
Yeah.
But an attempt to manipulate a person by continually presenting them with false information until they doubt their sanity. Yeah. Gaslight someone. Me too. Plogging.
Plogging?
I never heard of this before.
Wait, can I guess what it is?
Yeah, can you guess what plogging is?
Plogging. Is it P-L-O-G-G?
P-L-O-G-G-I-N-G.
I mean, it sounds like clogging
it
with
does.
Pleather.
It's really funny, but you know, that's not the, it's out of Sweden.
Okay.
It's a recreational activity originating in Sweden that combines jogging with picking up litter.
Oh.
Flogging. Jogging and picking up litter. That makes me think
go,
good
Swedes.
Things about the Swedes. Yeah. Like, way
that's
to go.
Excellent.
You're not only helping your own physical fitness, you're also improving the environment.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's flogging. Easy to find places to throw away that garbage in Sweden. That's something I take for granted here. Like, I always assume there's going to be a garbage can. Like, you know, if I'm like going into a store or a restaurant, I'll like gather up the garbage that's in our car and just take it with me so I can toss it in there before I go into the store. And I'm always kind of taken aback, like, if I encounter a store that doesn't have that. But I don't know, it seems like when we were in Japan, there were never public garbage cans. And yeah. I don't think that I saw as many other places we've been either.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, like, for some reason in America, there are always lots of garbage cans. It's sort of unusual when there's not a garbage can around.
Right.
But in Japan, there's very few. Like, when we've been to Japan, we've sort of learned where to find them, like in train stations mm-hmm. and things. But a lot of times in Japan, people will, like, they'll pack up their own garbage and bring it home with them
and then
square it away.
It.
There's not a lot of littering in Japan. It's inspiring.
Right. I'm guessing maybe Americans need more garbage cans to encourage them to throw away their garbage.
Yeah,
I
think the thinking in America
or discourage littering.
The thinking in America is if you make it easy enough for people,
then they'll do it.
They'll throw it away. But if you don't, then they're just going to throw it on the side of the road.
Like this. I remember when we lived
lazy or something
in the last town that we lived in, and the city decided to put the garbage cans like in the middle of the medians on the roads mm-hmm. at stoplights.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So you could roll down your window and try to make a basket. But I always wondered like how many people
of the time,
missed
you
that.
Probably did it.
But it always made me wonder: is this making the situation worse? I mean, they're trying to encourage people to not litter, but if you are doing that and you miss. I mean, I wouldn't have even thrown anything out the window if the garbage wasn't there, if the garbage can wasn't.
Yeah. One thing I see a lot here in Texas, and I'm not sure if other places have this, but like a lot of times at drive-thrus in restaurants, there will be like a garbage can at the end of the drive-thru.
Oh, I've never noticed that.
You ever notice that?
I've never noticed that.
Like at McDonald's or Whataburger where you can, I don't know, take your stuff out and you can throw your garbage away.
Huh.
At the end of the drive-thru.
I have never, ever noticed that.
Yeah.
But now I'll be on the lookout, I guess.
And also the garbage can in the middle of the gas pumps is always really handy.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's
so while you're pumping your gas, you can be throwing away the garbage in your car.
Yeah. That's always my strategy to, you know, make sure our minivan isn't
especially on car
gross
trips.
Oh, gosh.
Very, very handy.
You need it so much. Every time you fill up, you know that you've got a carload of garbage by then.
There's a couple others. VAR.
VAR.
I'd never heard of this one before.
I don't know what that is.
It is an abbreviation for a video assistant referee. I guess it's like when you have like the video replay.
Oh, okay.
They must use it like for soccer games or, you know, football, and as they call it in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Vegan. Everybody knows what that is. Someone who doesn't eat meat.
Was that not in there before?
Products. Yeah, that... I guess it was a new one for them.
Okay.
This year.
Collins, what's it called? The Collins Dictionary?
Collins Dictionary, yeah.
I'm thinking they're not a very impressive dictionary. If they just barely added vegan.
Yeah, it seems like we've been hearing about that for...
Or Gaslight. I
20
mean,
years, yeah.
But vegan, I'm...
And the last one they have is whitewash.
Whitewash, like not what Tom Sawyer did, but like metaphorically whitewash.
Like when you cast a white actor in the role of...
Oh, okay.
Of a character from a minority ethnic group.
Okay, yeah.
Or you use white actors to play characters from a minority ethnic group.
Okay.
Something that gets complained about a lot as people become more aware of issues like that.
Yeah. So does that apply to, like, you know, in old movies when they wouldn't cast actual Asians in Asian roles, but they would just, like, try to make their makeup look Asian?
Yeah, or, like, Native Americans, but they were
right.
White.
But they were like Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
like movies from the 50s.
Just a white girl that plays an Indian princess.
Yeah.
Does that count as that?
Or is it just when you like take a character that would be non-white and make it a white character?
I think it can apply to both situations. Like if there's already been a property where like in the original, it was an Asian character or a black character, but you change it to a white character.
Yeah.
The one area that I think gets really confusing is Japanese anime.
Yeah.
Because in Japanese anime, they're Japanese stories told by Japanese, you know, authors with characters that have Japanese names. But a lot of times in the anime, the world is sort of non-specific ethnic wise.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, like the biggest example of this in the last few years was Scarlett Johansson played a killer robot in the movie Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, that's the one that was
criticized for whitewashing. But the character itself wasn't necessarily specifically Japanese. In fact, it wasn't even human. I guess it was a cyborg. I can't remember. It's been too long since I watched the original. But there's a lot of criticism because it was a Japanese movie, but you're having an American actor. But I think there was a lot more talk about that in America than there was in Japan. In Japan, people don't really care because they're used to watching animes with like sort of non-specific Europeans alongside Asian characters. I don't know. It's a strange thing to think about.
It is a strange. Well, I noticed that a few years back, like when we were watching Miyazaki movies.
Yeah.
Like
some Miyazaki movies are sort of set in this European setting.
Like Kiki's Delivery Service. Yeah.
Like Kiki looks sort of Asian, but a lot of the other characters are sort of European.
They look like they're living like in a little Swedish coastal town or something. Yeah. But
yeah, I think like Kiki and her family are sort of vaguely Japanese, but then she goes off to this other town that looks like it's in, I don't know, the Netherlands or something.
Yeah. It looks very, very Northern Europe.
Yeah.
But yeah, but then, I mean, there are other Miyazaki movies where it's, I mean, Spirited Away is very clearly, like that very clearly Spirited takes Away place in Japan.
And uses a lot of Japanese folklore.
Yeah.
Or like My Neighbor Totoro, those characters are clearly Japanese. And the family does a lot of Japanese traditional things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it, yeah. Just different. So if they made those into live action films, like, I could see.
Then you would need to have Japanese characters.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, Japanese.
But I'm not sure that you would with Kiki's Delivery Service. Like, what's Kiki's boyfriend's name? The one on the bike. Is it Tombo?
Tombo? Yeah, something maybe. Like that.
He's like a blonde kid with glasses.
Yeah. But he seems like he's from Germany or something.
Somewhere, yeah. He kind of looks like he would be in an ad for, what are those? Mentos.
Yeah. Like a Mentos ad, exactly.
Like a Mentos ad from like the late 80s, early 90s.
Yep. Anyway. You want to read one of your stories?
Sure. This one's almost an ongoing. I feel like we almost have like an ongoing series here that we need a drop for. And I think one of these days I might create one. Indonesian flight delayed due to. Any guesses on this? Stinky fruit. I know you know what it is. Stinky fruit. Yeah, and that stinky fruit is
durian. We keep coming back to durian on this podcast.
Durian.
We tried durian ice cream on one of our shows, and we had a durian incident at a restaurant.
I really thought it was a gas leak.
I really did too, because it was the ramen restaurant that was next to a store that sold durian, and it smelled like they had a gas leak. I was concerned. I had safety concerns.
I had major safety concerns. Okay. A flight in Indonesia was delayed when passengers complained about the smell from a 2-ton shipment of durian.
That's a lot of durian.
That's a lot of durian, a notoriously pungent fruit. A video posted to Facebook by reggae musician Amir Zidane shows passengers exiting a flight in Bengkulu, Sumatra Island, after complaining about the rotting-like smell of the durian being transported on the plane to Jakarta. Passengers refused to fly with the shipment of fruit, leading the airline to delay the flight for an hour so the durian could be unloaded.
Ew. Seriously?
That is so gross.
Or delicious, if you're a durian fan, right?
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps, if you like it.
Yum,
yeah.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso!
But the smell... much durian has got to be overwhelming.
That's a lot of durian. That is a lot of 2-ton shipment of durian. So the airline spokeswoman said that the durian had been properly loaded into the plane. This is a quote from her. It's normal for every airline to carry durian during a flight as long as it is packaged properly and put inside the cargo hold in accordance with the standards and procedures. But that's 2 tons of durian.
Can you imagine being on a plane? Because you always feel like when you're on a plane that you're like, you're breathing everyone else's air anyway.
Yeah.
Like you could just, you could never get away from it. I can't, when I was a kid.
It's a funky smell.
And I sort of have a vague memory of this, but when I was a kid, you could still smoke on a plane.
Yeah.
You would have a smoking and a non-smoking section of a plane. But if you're on a plane, you're going to smell it anyway. Because even if you're sitting in the non-smoking section.
Well, people used to smoke literally, like I feel like everywhere.
And they still have on the planes, and I don't know why they do this. They still have the smoking and non, I guess it's on the older planes. They'll have like the no smoking sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
it's just a little reminder. No, yeah. So yeah, so that's my first news story. It's a durian update.
Yeah.
About the durian menace.
Yes. I've got another story here. This one blew up over the last couple of days. A guy in, I always have to think about this for just a second. A guy in Holland, a guy in the Netherlands. He's Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it three different things that don't
sound
like each other?
I've looked that up before. All right. I could tell you, but it's a long
answer. A Dutchman who is 69 years old has brought a lawsuit claiming that the government needs to lower his age by 20 years. He says Emil Rodelbaan. Wants to shift his birthday from the 11th of March, 1949 to the 11th of March, 1969. And he says, hey, if I want to change my birthday, I should be allowed to do it. He says, we live in a time when you can change your name. Why can't I decide my own age?
He seems like, I've read that article. He seems like he has a very, very high opinion of himself.
He does have a very high opinion of himself. He's actually a motivational speaker. And fun fact, he voiced the character of Vladimir Trunkov in the Dutch language version of the Pixar film Cars 2.
Is his voice also 20 years younger?
I just thought that was a strange fact.
That is a weird fact.
He's a voiceover artist, apparently, as well. He's a media personality and motivational guru who converted to Buddhism earlier this year and is a trainer in neurolinguistic programming.
None of this has to do with what he wants to do. That, like,
such an eccentric and strange guy. Yeah, he... he claims that he'll do much better. He claims he's being discriminated against because of his age and that it's affecting his employment chances and his success rate on dating
on
apps.
Tinder. Well,
women would be much more likely to date him if he was 49 and not 69.
That's a tragedy. I know. Poor guy. This is like, I would say it's a midlife crisis, but he's past midlife. Yeah. He's beyond midlife.
But he wants to go back to midlife.
He wants to go back and have his crisis again. Oh, man.
There was a funny line from the article, too. They said that the judge seemed very skeptical. They say that they'll rule on his case within 4 weeks. One of the judges said he wanted to know what would become of the 20 years that Mr. Rattleband wanted to erase. Here's a quote. Who were your parents looking after then? Who was that little boy?
This is like a Jim Carrey movie. Yeah. Like, what is the name of that movie where
the internal sunshine
erase,
of the spotless mind?
Where they can erase memories they want to just erase 20 years.
What happens to all that? Those 20 years of experience, do they just disappear?
You know, I could see like claiming that he could like legally put that he's 49, like if he could prove like I don't know, that his physical age somehow was equivalent to a 49-year-old. But wanting to change his actual birth date makes no sense because that's just a fact. That's an objective fact. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, saying I'm 49 and just putting an asterisk, like, physically, mentally, is different.
I guess he wants to be able to tell people he's 49 and claim that he's got government sanction for that, so he's not really lying. I don't know. Although if this guy's like a celebrity in the Netherlands, then right. Everyone knows about this case anyway. So they all know how old he is.
It sounds to me like he's kind of a very minor celebrity. I mean, if he were a celebrity, then his success rate for jobs and dating apps would still be great, right?
Also, there's a picture of him here. I would say he looks closer to 69 than he does to 49.
Oh, definitely.
He's got a lot of gray hair.
And wrinkles. I mean, he looks like he's, you know, in decent shape for a 69-year-old.
I'm sure he's in good shape, but...
But you're almost 49.
Yeah.
He doesn't look your age.
I'm feeling older all the time.
But he doesn't look your age. He looks like he could be your dad, which he could.
Yeah. I think my dad's roughly that age too.
He's a few years older than that,
but still. Yeah, very strange. I don't know how you get to just decide your own facts, objective facts, like how many years you've been on the earth.
Well, I'm 5'9". And also, you know, I mean,
I'm 145 pounds.
Exactly.
6'8".
Right. I'm...
guess that'd be awfully skinny.
That would be really, really skinny. I don't know. I can't really decide on like what my favorite weight would be, but I would be 5'8", 5'9". I'm actually 5'4".
I want the government to tell me that I have six-pack abs.
Yes. I would like all kinds of things. Like, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. One more story?
Yes. One more. This is a seasonal story. Pringles unveils Thanksgiving dinner flavored chips. Pringles announced the snack food is getting the holiday spirit with three Thanksgiving-inspired flavors, turkey, stuffing, and pumpkin pie.
All right. Turkey.
Turkey.
I can see that, sort of. It would be like, I don't know, chicken-flavored ramen. We tried the chicken-flavored ramen Pringles on the podcast.
They were pretty good.
With Jenna Kim Jones.
Yeah.
On a previous podcast.
Well... I could, like, if they got it right, it would be good. Like those chicken and a biscuit crackers are great.
Turkey flavored chips. Yeah. What was the other one?
Stuffing.
Stuffing.
I think stuffing would work.
I can sort of see that, although
I think it'd be good.
It'd be a strange flavor.
No, I mean, it's like
pumpkin pie.
Broth flavor.
Pumpkin pie Pringles.
Pumpkin pie Pringles sounds disgusting.
Yeah. Do they have any other sweet Pringles? Pringles seem sort of savory by nature.
And I feel like they should stay that way.
Probably. Pumpkin pie Pringles don't sound good.
I will say none of these sound better than just plain Pringles to me, though. Plain Pringles are so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the turkey and the stuffing I feel like could be okay. Stuffing could almost taste a little bit like sour cream and onion.
Yeah.
So it's kind of got that like savory, soupy, oniony, garlicky.
Like with some... sort of brothy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could work. The same way turkey could maybe work. But no, pumpkin pie just doesn't sound great. Mm-mm. We tried some weird Pringles flavors on Treat Yourself. What
we have
were
before.
They?
There was like a cheeseburger, which was surprisingly good.
Yeah, that was one of the better ones. And then there was one that was like,
I don't know, like biscuits buffalo wings or something.
Was there a biscuits and gravy one?
I think we tried some Lay's potato chips that were biscuits and gravy.
Okay.
Because Lay's does the sort of seasonal and regional flavors every year.
It seems like I didn't like them very much.
Yeah, they're strange because they taste like what they're supposed to taste like.
But not what you want in a chip.
But in an unnatural way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fake biscuits and gravy.
I have a feeling the pumpkin pie Pringles would go down that same path.
I'm kind of over the pumpkin pie flavored things. There are very few things that I think are better with pumpkin pie flavoring added.
The only thing that's really good pumpkin pie flavored is
pumpkin pie,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like pumpkin cake, too.
Well, yeah.
And but I'll even
pumpkin
have...
pumpkin cake's not pumpkin pie flavored. No. It's just pumpkin cake.
Well, it still has... It has some of the same spices.
I mean, I guess I'll take like a pumpkin pie cheesecake, but I think most of the time I like just straight up...
Straight up
pumpkin pie from the back of the Libby's can label.
I always liked pumpkin pie ice cream, but it's basically just, you know, like
I think I'd rather
pumpkin
have
pie swirl
some
in there.
Vanilla ice cream with a slice of pumpkin pie, really.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what else do we know about these flavors?
Well, I guess they tested out like 8 different Thanksgiving varieties last year with a limited audience, and those were the 3 most popular. So that's why they came out with them this year.
Yeah.
They are only available to purchase online in a 3-pack, and they cost $14.99. And you can't get them after Tuesday of Thanksgiving week. Oh, no.
That's
beginning.
Fairly expensive.
No. They'll be available for a limited time. I misread that. Beginning at 11:59 Tuesday, which was this week, November 6th. So they are available right now. For a limited time, and you can get them online.
But they're like $15 for a 3-pack.
Yeah, which seems like a lot for Pringles.
Pringles are like $1.50 a can or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Like if they're on sale, they might go on sale for $1 a can.
Do they?
So that's a pretty premium price.
I don't buy them often enough to know like what is a good price for Pringles.
But $5 and they're like little cans too. They're not even full size cans.
Really?
I think so.
Oh.
They're really taking advantage of this promo.
That seems like a ripoff.
Yeah, I was thinking when I saw that article, I was thinking, well, maybe we should get some for Treat Yourself, and then I saw that and
$15 for 3-pack of iffy flavors.
You can't get them in the store. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to order them and send them to us, we'll try them. But I don't think it's going to happen by Thanksgiving.
Or if someone wants to buy them, try them and tell us if they're any good, so that we'll know whether or not it's worth the risk of buying them online and paying $15 for them.
Yeah, that'll work too.
Yeah.
All right, so that's our news. I thought we could try something. Since we don't have any of the kids here with us, thought we might try prank calling some of our daughters at college.
Try to get them to talk to us.
See what happens. I believe you can cancel caller ID. I looked this up a second ago. If you hit *67, that'll make it a call from an unknown caller.
Oh, nice.
Let me see. How to block number when calling. Yes, if you hit *67 and then dial the number, you can. It won't show up on their caller ID. Obviously, if we call them on our phones, they'll know it's us, and can't really prank call them. They'll probably know it's us immediately anyway. Thought we could give Elizabeth or maybe Phoebe a call. I don't know if they'll answer their phone. We can get them on the podcast for just a little bit, chat with them. So at least we'll have someone from our children talking to their dad on the Talk to Dad podcast. I was also looking up, I had a website. Where was it? A website that listed some of the best prank call ideas. Most of them are terrible. Scrolling through the list, this is from a website called thetop10s.com, where I guess people just submit. This is supposedly the top 10 best prank call ideas, but it's just a long list. What I determined was if you work at a pizza restaurant, you get a lot of prank calls.
Oh, I'm sure.
There's a lot of like, call a pizza restaurant and ask for a cheeseless pizza with extra no cheese. Or call a pizza restaurant and ask for the directions to another pizza restaurant. Or call McDonald's and ask for a Whopper.
Okay, none of these are even funny.
Yeah, none of them were funny. Some of them were kind of cruel ideas. The only one, and I think this is just the classic, and this
is your refrigerator
we'll try
running.
Is your refrigerator running?
I like that one.
Then you better go catch it.
Yep.
I think everyone recognizes what that is.
Okay, let's try it out.
They have just gonna tell you some of the other ones. Call up and ask, "Is Mr. Wall there?" No. How about Mrs. Wall? No. Then what's holding up your ceiling? It's pretty bad.
Groan.
A lot of them were like, call up someone at random and tell them that you're with like a TV station or a radio station. And if they can answer your question, they'll win $50,000 and then hang up on them. It's just not that funny.
No, like, no.
I guess when you're a kid, did you ever crank call? Or prank call? I think every kid did. I did.
But I'm not going to say. I mean, I don't want to incriminate myself.
I think there was a time when I did. So back in the old days, you know, when no one had caller ID.
Yeah.
When we were kids. And like in my town, this is weird to think about. Like there was only one prefix. And by prefix, I mean like 7 numbered phone numbers.
Yeah.
So like my prefix, they were all 752 numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It was 752. And then you could hit any other 4 numbers and you'd probably ring someone.
Yeah.
So you just do 752 and then 4 random numbers and someone would pick up the phone and you crank call them and you do something goofy.
Yeah.
Or like in the town that I lived in before that, you could dial just 4 numbers.
Yeah.
You could have 4 numbers and get someone on the phone.
Any 4.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do it.
Kind of crazy.
Let's do it.
Let's try it. Do you have, what I need to do though is because I have their numbers on my phone, I'll need to read off the number. I will bleep it or delete it.
Well, how about if I just show you?
Oh, there we go.
Because they're in my address book.
So I have to go star. What did I say it was? *76?
*67? I don't know. You
Star
know?
6-7.
Okay.
Star 6. Oops. Star 6-7. Do I dial that and then I dial the number? I don't know. I'll try it.
Yeah. I'll show you the...
All right. I got to put this on speakerphone too so it comes across.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello. Is your refrigerator running?
Yeah, it's out for a jog. Why?
Well, you better go catch it.
Why are you calling me, Dad? I know this is you.
Of course you know it's me.
Why are my parents prank calling you? It's a midlife crisis. I can also hear like your mom laughing in the background. Yeah.
Midlife crisis.
Are you like at a slumber party right now? What's going on?
We're on the podcast.
We're on the podcast, oh, but...
We don't have any kids to do a podcast with us.
There are no kids.
So we had to prank call our kid on the podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, now you're just getting gimmicky.
Elizabeth, have you ever prank called anyone?
What?
Have you ever
prank called anyone?
I don't think... I think I went to, like, a slumber party in seventh grade where, like, we called somebody's crush and we asked him where he was right now and he said, in the bathroom.
Oh, no. That's like the worst answer to that question.
That's the only time that I remember. I didn't do it personally. I was just in the room when it happened.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. You.
Mom and I are doing the podcast all by ourselves because we don't have any kids at home right now.
So we're crank calling our kids to try to get them to talk to us.
We're crank calling them.
Well, you interrupted my date night, so.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. We'll let you get back to it.
I had to figure out how to take the caller ID off my phone.
And pot roast. God, we sound like old people. Yeah, this is a real role reversal, huh?
Okay.
I had to figure out how to take the caller ID off my phone.
Yeah, just star 42?
Star 6-7 is what I...
Star 6-7, that's right.
How
that's
does
right.
everybody know this but me?
Because we...
Y'all are sketchy.
We went to public high school. Yeah, because we went to public high school.
That must be why. Okay. All right. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Right, have a fun podcast.
All right. See ya.
I can't wait to listen to it. I want to see other people's reactions.
I mean.
We're going to try to call Phoebe next. Do you have any prank call ideas for Phoebe?
Oh, yeah. What are some good ideas for prank calls?
The only one I can think of is your refrigerator running.
Which I think is the best, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's a classic.
Okay. We'll just stick with that.
Okay.
All right. Wish us luck.
Good luck.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, she picked up.
Yeah, she did pick up. I don't think I would pick up if I got a call from an unknown caller on a Friday night.
You don't pick up any unknown callers
anyway. I
don't
pick up if it even looks like a number that I recognize because I assume it's spam unless they're in my contact book. All right, get Phoebe's number there.
Okay, I'll bring it up on my contacts here. Let's see. Do I have her in my contacts? I do.
I think you better.
I do. Here you go.
All right. Do you want to do it this time?
I think you should.
Hello?
Hello. Is your refrigerator running?
I don't have a refrigerator.
What do you keep your food in?
My roommate's refrigerator.
Is your roommate's refrigerator running?
It is. I almost hung up on you.
Then you better go catch it.
Go catch it! Did you recognize Dad's voice?
Run downstairs? Did you do Star 69 just to prank call me?
Is it yes, Star 69?
We did, because we're on the podcast right now. We didn't have any kids at home to podcast with, so we had to prank call our kids. We just called Elizabeth. So now we're calling you.
I don't think I've had anyone prank call me since I was in, like, early middle school.
I haven't prank called anyone since I was in middle school.
I haven't either.
I really... Yeah.
We had to star 6-7 you, so you didn't know who it was. I was surprised that both of you actually answered the phone.
I was very surprised.
Yeah, I normally wouldn't, but... have you looked at my Twitter today?
I have not.
I actually tweeted today, do you ever get so lonely that you answer spam callers?
Oh.
So it was the perfect day to do it.
Are you that lonely, dear?
We're coming to visit you.
It's true.
Next weekend, we're coming to visit you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm just bored,
you're on the podcast right now. Because the boys aren't home right now. I need to do a podcast and get it put up on the, you know, out in the podcast world tonight.
Is it a podcast where you just prank call your children?
It's a podcast where mom and I do the podcast and then we prank call our children.
That's a cute idea.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad. Glad that you think it's cute. So
yeah, I do.
The last time you were prank called in middle school, do you remember like what line they used? Was it good?
Probably not. I don't really remember.
Okay.
I was looking through. If it was good, I might remember it.
I was looking through a list of like prank call ideas and they were all really stupid.
They were all so dumb.
About half of them were like, call up the pizza place and say something really stupid. Like, I get the idea of maybe pizza places get lots of stupid prank calls.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
It is.
Or it was like, call up someone and tell them that they won $50,000 and then hang up on them. Which, like, you'd have to be, like, really young to think that's really funny. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's, prank calling is something that you outgrow.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the last time I was prank called. And I'm not sure.
I might not have even been prank called. I'm sure I was prank called at some point in middle school, but I'm just assuming.
Wasn't there a time when you were getting calls from someone in prison?
Yes. But I don't think that was real.
When you get a call from prison, there's like a voice that comes out at the beginning saying, will you accept a call from, you know,
so and
the correctional facility? New
Jersey inmate, yeah.
That would have been a funny prank call.
And your mom was getting calls from some inmate in New Jersey.
In New Jersey. It was only one call, but you were out of town and it was like when you were in law school and I was home alone with a baby and, you know, I would still get spooked. When I was home alone.
It's a little creepy.
It was a little creepy. And
you accept it?
I did accept it because I wanted to make sure that they knew that, you know, whoever they thought they were calling, they didn't have the right number for. Because I thought.
But he was fine with just talking to you.
Oh, yeah. He was like, well, maybe I could get to know you. And I was like,
no.
And I hung up. And I did not sleep that night.
Story.
Yeah, I was like, no, you have the wrong number. And he's like, are you sure? Isn't this? And I was like, no, I don't know you. But yeah, that was almost like a prank call, only like really not funny at the time.
Prank calls from prison?
Yeah, from prison inmates.
Fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
So now you can say you've been prank called by your parents.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Isn't it? Or you don't have to tell anyone.
Maybe don't tell anyone. Yeah. Maybe keep that just, you know.
Yeah, I was wondering with the
keep
no
it on
caller
the down low.
ID, I was like, I get so many spam calls.
Yeah, it seems like lately whenever I get spam calls, they make it look like it's from my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Like they spoof a number that's really close to mine.
I was about to tell you what the numbers are, but then you would know the first, like,
right.
Four or five digits of my phone number.
Yeah, right. that's what it is. It's like, I know the only one that's really close to mine is your mom's. So I just don't, unless it actually is your mom, I just don't answer it.
Assume
it's spam.
If it's mom, it would just say her name too.
Exactly.
Right.
Because she's in my contacts.
Yeah.
She has been for a little while.
Yeah. I had one, I'm assuming it was a spam caller. I don't know. The other day, some random number called me and then they texted me and were like, yes. Or question mark or something, and I was like,
oh, I hate
who
that.
Is this?
You know what? On my birthday, I got a couple of text messages from someone who said like weird things about my birthday and didn't identify themselves, and I found it really creepy.
It was me.
It was not you.
It was probably people from church that are not at all.
I'm
creepy.
Sure it was, but I still think they need to identify themselves.
Oh, you remember a couple
Maybe
of years ago when I got
number.
A couple of times I got like texts from somebody that wouldn't identify themselves. And I was like, no, I really don't know who this is. And they were like,
they texted me too on my birthday.
Think harder. And I'm like,
I'm sort of related to you, but I'm not or something.
Yeah, think about your past. And I'm like, I mean.
I don't care.
No.
Yeah.
If you can't tell me who you are, then I don't like you. Goodbye.
It was annoying.
Who does that?
Apparently someone I'm not quite related to, but so I don't know. I was honestly like.
Someone from her past.
Someone from my past. No, I don't know. I just felt like, I mean. If you want to tell me who it is, then great. If not, then bye. You don't need to be creepy on, and not tell me who you are. But
anyway,
that wasn't a crank call either, though. That was just a little unnerving.
Where are the boys? What are they doing?
They are carbo loading for their walk tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah.
We have to go pick them up pretty soon, so we're going to have to wrap up this podcast. But
yeah.
Okay.
Now at least we've got a couple of our kids on the podcast.
Yeah. We forced you to talk to us.
It's too bad. If you had a YouTube channel, you could totally do a fun, prank calling my kids.
Not clickbait.
That would last for a little while.
Not.
And have, one of those
we would run out of kids.
They're, making crazy faces.
And then,
of course.
By the second episode, it would just be our kids getting really annoyed with us.
I was talking about maybe just a one episode thing.
We would call and say something, and we'd just hear click.
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 Mom.
Wouldn't answer.
Dad, knock it off.
Yeah.
Don't want to be on your
YouTube
channel.
But yeah, that actually pairs very well with my tweet today.
Or we'd get, notifications that we've been blocked.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you next weekend.
Yep.
Yep.
See you later.
Same, man.
Love you. Bye-bye.
It worked.
They
both answered
the phone.
They
totally answered the phone.
I didn't think they would.
I kind of thought they might because both of them, I think when you're in college, too, there are a lot of people that you might not have added to your contacts that could call.
But it shows as blocked caller.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when you use the *67.
Or unknown caller.
Yeah, I think it doesn't show your number.
Huh.
It's
*67?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's amazing that apparently the girls knew that and you knew that and I had no idea.
Google it, but I knew there was a way to do it. I just didn't know what it was.
Hmm.
And apparently it worked. All right. Well, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
So the boys are back from their event. They're here with us. I actually have kids here to talk to Dad.
Hello.
William and Henry are here, and we are going to try for Treat Yourself some candy from the Atkinson Candy Company in Lufkin, Texas. They're all caramel candies.
That sounds good.
There's one called Slowpoke Chewy Caramel Candy, one called Long Boys Coconut Long Boys Chewy Caramel Bar with real coconut, and one called Black Cow, which is a chocolate caramel. Let's do the Long Boys first with coconut. It's coconut
boys.
Caramel.
These sound really good.
Let's see if they're any good. I like the retro packaging of these candy. The Long Boys has a skinny boy on the front of it and a baseball cap and a stripy shirt. What do we think of coconut Long Boys?
I think they lived up to their name. These are really good.
And long.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
William thinks they're delicioso. Mom, what do you think?
The packaging looks all retro and the flavor kind of it tastes retro.
Old-fashioned candy.
It reminds me of those Brock's candies that you'd see.
There was
a mix of them around Christmas time, especially.
There were
especially.
Three different colors. They were kind of Neapolitan colors and they had coconut in them.
Yeah, it reminds me of that, but it's a better texture. Those were kind of not very good. These are pretty good.
I just can't believe there's a candy called Long Boy.
You think they're delicious?
I'd like
they're
to
really good,
input
yeah.
my opinion.
Yes.
At first I was like, what is this? I couldn't tell whether I liked it or not. Then I realized, oh wait, it's coconut. And I like it.
Yeah, it's not really caramel.
I thought they were okay. Caramel. They're kind of a weird texture.
That's true.
They are seriously sticking to the packaging. They're hard to get off at all. They're really messy.
They kind of just like the filling that's in Almond Joys.
I
know some people really like Almond Joys. Some people really don't. I really like Almond Joys, so I really like this.
So we got
like that.
Delicious.
The coconut's not as coarsely ground as Almond Joys, though.
I say it's delicious.
It's ground up finer. I think it's delicious.
And I say they're okay.
I think it's delicious.
We got three deliciouses and one okay. Let's do the Slowpoke next. These look Slowpoke have a turtle on the front. A nice little yellow and brown wrapper. These look like just plain caramel. They're also really sticky, sticking to the package. Let's see if I can get these off the package.
I hate that can.
Oh, yeah, they're getting off the package better than the other ones. getting them off the package better than the other ones.
I do kind of hate the candy, like Laffy Taffy, or like that type of candy, where like it's just like impossible to take the candy off of the packaging.
If it sticks on there, yeah.
Keeps on sticking, you can't get it out.
All right, what do we think of slow... What did I call these? Slow pokes?
I can't give that a...
They're caramel.
Yeah, they're caramel. What they remind me of is they remind me of the caramel that you usually get around a caramel apple.
I'm going to give that a... It's
they're very very chewy, very sticky.
I'm going to give that a... It's literally exactly what you expect and nothing more than that in any way.
Yeah. It doesn't exceed expectations. It's just there.
I thought it was caramel. Delicious.
Yum, I think yum, it's yum, fine. Yum, yum. Delicioso.
They taste exactly... Chewy. They're exactly like Milk Duds, but without the chocolate coating.
I'll give that an okay, just because for one thing, it's like just caramel. For another thing, like...
Okay. I'm
giving
it okay.
They taste like
Kraft
caramels. Not
because it
was
disappointing
and
just caramel, but because I think that caramel's okay.
Caramel's okay. All right, there's one last one to try. This one is the Black Cow, which looks like it's more of a chocolatey. It's kind of like the color of a Tootsie Roll.
This one sounds good.
Yeah, I have high hopes for this one.
I guess Tootsie Rolls are basically just slightly sticky.
Tootsie Rolls,
caramel.
Yeah. Yeah, they're
I'm
almost like chocolate
taffy. This is a little
taffy,
more like caramel, but... though. Because these have all been caramel. Seems to be what this company specializes in.
Smells good.
Can I see the packaging?
Yeah. So what do you think of Black... What do we call these? Black Cow? What do you think of Black Cow?
These
I
aren't
like
bitter,
it. I like the cocoa flavor. This is my favorite of the three.
Yeah, it's not.
It's a little softer too. It's easier to chew.
Yeah, it's pretty dark chocolate, but it's not like super bitter or anything. But like,
it's got a strong cocoa flavor. I like it.
So all three of these have been around for a long time. I thought that Black Cows looked and sounded familiar, but I'd never tried it before. But all three of them are like vintage candies.
Yeah, like retro candies.
And they kind of taste like the Black Cows though are really good. They're like what I wish Tootsie Rolls actually tasted like.
Yeah.
Instead I really of like Tootsie Rolls, though.
Well, they don't taste like real cocoa.
Too, but these are better.
I don't like.
Yeah, these are better.
These are way better.
I'm okay with Tootsie Rolls. These are better to me. They taste
more chocolatey.
More like real cocoa. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So that is Treat Yourself.
I like
it. And that
it.
Is our podcast. Thanks, boys, for joining at the end.
Thank you.
Thank you to Elizabeth and Phoebe for allowing us to prank call them and actually answering the phone.
Not allowing
you. Can't believe
you.
They answered the phone.
And thanks especially to Allison for being on the whole podcast with me.
You're welcome.
And thank you especially to anyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook and at talktodadpodcast.com. If you want to email us, you can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. If you really want to help out the podcast, one thing you can do is you can leave us a 5-star review wherever you get the podcast. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, it really helps us get the word out there and maybe expand our audience. So we do appreciate that. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time